It's time. Clock out with Talentless starts now.
Recording progress. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Clock Out with Talentless. Another great show we have for you today, where the biggest names in talent and HR kick off their shoes and tell us their story and their journey. No real crappy buzzwords today, no HR speak. We're just going to dive in. And tonight, I am so excited to be joined with Julia Arpag, who is the CEO and founder of Aligned Recruitment. And if you haven't heard about it, I don't know where you've been, probably under a rock. She's doing great work. I think she just got named on some really big list of recruiting firms. I just saw that on LinkedIn today. So I am so excited to have you here. I know Aligned started in 2023, I believe, and she's already hit like seven figures, kids. I mean, this is someone to talk to about how we do talent. Julia, welcome to Clock Out.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I should just leave. That was my favorite intro ever. Like, what else is there to say? You did it. You said all the things. Like, bye. No, thank you, Desiree. I loved it. Hi, Ashley. Good to be here. Thank you guys for having me. I so appreciate it.
Of course. We're pumped. We are pumped. Ashley, I'll let you ask the first question today.
Well, on that note, let me jump in. So yeah. Julia, we are pumped for our listeners to really find out, like, what is the story behind your talent journey and what has brought you to this point in your career?
Yeah, it was random, like all people in TA, just to be totally transparent. So when I was in college, I studied English because I was like, I just like to read. That's really all I know about myself. And I don't really care about money at all. 0%. So I graduated and did a bunch of weird things. Like, I worked at SoulCycle in Manhattan for 6 months because why not? So took a lot of spin classes. Made my way to recruitment actually via admissions. So I was a college recruiter for a handful of years, had a total blast. I love people. That's kind of the thread. So I love people. I'm a natural recruiter, which I found out now that I'm a recruiter, kind of how to put language to it. But I've always been the one who's like, okay, guys, like, we're going out to this person's party or we're going out to this place for dinner. Like, I've always been the recruiter of everything I've ever done in my personal life. So it was like seamless for me to be the person who's like, hey, you should do this to the students that I was chatting with. And then when I moved to Atlanta for my husband's job about 10 years ago, briefly worked in marketing, was comically terrible at it and hated it. So made my way back to recruitment via a corporate recruitment job. And I was like, oh, this is what I've been looking for. This is it. So worked in that one corporate recruitment stint and then made my way over to RPO and worked for a couple different RPO agencies and then started the firm.
Yeah. So I'm always interested in like the journey of entrepreneurs in this space because it's tough, right? But if you could kind of tell our listeners, like, when you decided to make this jump to do your own thing, right? What went through your head? How did you kind of get there? What was necessary for you to develop to even be like, all right, we're ready? That would be great to hear.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're like asking for a friend. I do get asked this all the time, right?
Oh,
this
sure.
is like the big question. So I had an unfair advantage in that my husband is the most financially savvy human on this planet. So when I got, so I had been considering running my own business for about a year. Because when you're a top performing recruiter and you know how much your company is billing your client, but then you know how much you're making, you're like, this math isn't mathing. So I'd already had that thought for about a year, but it was terrifying, right? For all the same reasons a lot of people don't go out on their own. But then my CEO at the time laid me off 5 weeks postpartum. I had my sweet little baby and he was like, goodbye, farewell. So I had this amazing opportunity where I was like, oh my gosh, I wonder if I do this big, scary thing I've been thinking about doing. At the same time, I got a couple job offers from former clients of mine. And I was like, what if I could say yes to all of them? So it actually felt more scary to say yes to a W-2 where I only got to take that one salary versus saying yes to those. I had three former clients come and offer me jobs. And instead, I converted all three of them into my first three clients of
the agency.
So it was like there was immediate momentum right off the bat. So that really is what kind of got us off to the races. And then because my husband has been so financially savvy, we had this big personal safety net financially where I was like, okay, I'm going to give it a year. Worst case scenario, I crash and burn. Okay, I'll go and get a regular person job. But we had that safety net that gave me the time to be able to at least try it and see if I could do it.
Nice. That's awesome.
That's amazing. A part of your story that I love that I think people don't think about is, one, entrepreneurship is hard. Like, it's so, so hard in general. And getting clients is hard. But it's interesting how many people I've seen move from talent, have excellent, excellent ties because of their work ethic and the product that they brought, and now they're thriving in their own business, pretty much referral-based. And so we've spoken with Aaron Riska, very similar, myself at DEI Labs, like really and truly, that's how me and Desiree's relationship really flourished as well. So I think that that's kind of in a weird way, such a beautiful call out for the entrepreneurship like path for anyone that is in TA and is like, I don't know if I could, in a weird way, because of what we do, we're actually positioned in really great places to be able to start a business. We know people, we're connectors, we're just people. So in a weird way, I actually love how much that you share that, and especially the referral-based business launch, because that is something that I hope more people who do think, I wanna go out there and do that. I think it's something we don't think about, is like how, you know, we might actually be able to have a little bit of a cushier launch pad. Maybe, I don't know, than some others.
Well, if you're any good.
Yeah, if you're a bad recruiter, right. Creating your own firm won't solve
the problem. That is correct.
But if you're a good recruiter, yeah, like obviously your clients are going to come to you and be like, you're the reason I liked working with your firm. So I will now just work with you at your new firm. So yeah, that is, you're 100% right. It is a perfect profession that can pretty seamlessly launch into a solopreneur practice. Whether you want a scalar team or not, you can at least, you know, hang up a shingle and do it yourself if you have a good reputation in the market.
So you gave me the perfect entry to talk about scaling, right? And, you know, I know that you have people on your team. And so how many people are on your team? How did you decide to scale? What was that like? Okay, now I need bodies in the room. How did you get to that point?
So we actually had the craziest intro to scaling. So at the beginning, the reason I picked Aligned Recruitment as like the branding is because a friend of mine who I worked with years and years ago, she approached me and she was like, hey, I know you just got laid off. Will you come be a co-founder? I have a name and like a really bad website. That's it. Do you want to just come do it? And the website was terrible for sure, but I loved the name. I was like, oh, I do believe in Aligned Recruitment. Like, that's fantastic. Didn't have a single client, hadn't made a single dollar. But I was like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it. So we were quote unquote co-founders. But quickly it was awkward. Like in our first year, you mentioned, we just hit seven figures after 2 years in business. So both years we've been around 500K in revenue. She literally brought in less than 1% of that in our first year. And we were 50-50 partners. So at the end of that first year, so I say this to respond to your scaling question, because we started with a team of two. Like we were immediately like, not just me. But because it had so quickly become so apparent that that was not an equitable partnership, I very respectfully approached her. I was like, hey, this is not working. I'll buy you out. Like, I'm not going to take the company out from under you. Like, I gave her an offer. She accepted it. We moved on. But that kind of gave me a unique entrance point where I was like, okay, I'm going to be, I like haphazardly said yes. I was like, why not? So now I am so, so careful about who I bring on my team. I have right now a team of three people on the delivery side. So I have a director of recruitment and I have two sourcers. And then we're currently working on bringing on another recruiter. And then I have two people on the operations side, kind of back end support. And that is the perfect size for right now. It's actually bigger than I even anticipated, because we've been bootstrapped and profitable since day one. So we only buy things and pay people if we have money. Like I know a lot of people like credit cards. I don't like credit cards. Like I pay you with the money I have in my bank account. So that was a very intentional decision that I made. And I think having that experience with my original co-founder made me so, so careful about scaling and really being very intentional.
Right. Lesson learned. That's awesome.
That's awesome. One of the things I will even say at DEI Labs, where it was been like, at what point do we actually turn it over to people? Because like we were profitable, but just by like an inch. And it was just enough work to like maybe need another person. But it is that thing of, I don't like living off credit cards either. And if I'm about to ask someone to dedicate their life to my dream, I better already have your salary in a bucket lined up ready for you to go, or else I'm not going to ask you to come. And so it is something that's so interesting as far as how do you keep taking on this workload, or do you get a business loan to, like, it's just such a weird dynamic and such a weird constellation of decisions. Something I never thought of, but it is very much, you're exactly right. If you're scaling with the wrong person, it's going to be hard.
It's going to be brutal. And it was like that first year, like, I'm so grateful for all our success, but it was definitely messy. It was definitely messy behind the scenes. So the second year where I've gotten to make all the decisions, call all the shots, kind of set my own vision, has been huge and so much freedom. And I've absolutely loved it.
That's great. Yeah, I know that I just saw that, and I mentioned the list in your intro, but, you know, being successful like you are in such a short period of time, I mean, it's astonishing to me that you've really truly done this in 2 years. You know, what do you think is the what's happened? What was that thing or the hot thing that's made you so successful? Is it your people? Is it your process? Like, what is that thing?
What's your catalyst?
Yeah,
I know. Okay, so remember when I told you I got an English degree because I didn't care about money? So it turns out if you know how to write, you can make money from that. Like, people will pay you if you can communicate well. So I really think the catalyst for me was the fact that I have been very transparent on LinkedIn about our whole journey. Like, the reason I got all those job offers is because I posted on LinkedIn. I was like, I was just laid off. Guys, what's up? Like, who's available? So I think because I did that, I got all these people from different parts of my life who were like, oh my gosh, like, you're available. Like, here's a job offer. Oh, let me introduce you to this person. Oh, let me like make this happen for you. And so that set the tone. That's what we've done every single day at Aligned Recruitment, as I post candidly. Like you mentioned today, I posted about, we just won the number one spot on HOXO's list for the top 100 most influential TA leaders for the second time this year, because I'm just like communicating. I'm just sharing what's happening, right? Like beautiful things are happening at every recruitment agency right now, but they don't all have someone who's like shouting it from the rooftop. So I think that's been a massive catalyst for us, is just that, you know, hilarious English lit degree I got, putting being put to work, basically, is what's going on. And prior to starting the business, it really was the fact that I just am a good recruiter, like, just to be totally honest. I've been a top recruiter on every team I've ever worked on, because I genuinely care about people. Like, I'm actually insatiably curious. Like, it kills me that I have to not ask all the illegal questions. Like, I want to know, like, are you married? Do you have kids? Like, where do you live? Like, I really want to know, like, everything about you. Like, we're on a coffee date, right? And I can't do that. So for me, recruitment is like a very natural extension of who I am and what I value and that I actually do want to know about people. So I think that's what's driven the success.
That's awesome. That was a great answer, and I know everybody probably can resonate with that one. All right, let's move to the second one. Ready? Question number two, is there anything you would change or warn others about as they start their journey, either, and I'm going to give you, because you have the other thing, so in their journey on entrepreneurship, solopreneurship, recruiting, or, you know, our HR, or any of the things that you're so involved in? What's the one thing?
So I'll give an answer both for if you're just starting out in recruitment and for if you're just starting out as an entrepreneur. So if you're just starting out in recruitment, I would say do an energy audit. Like, figure out what things actually bring you energy about TA slash HR and what things drain you. And the reason I say that is because where your energy go, like where your energy is draining you, that is not your zone of genius. And if you keep spending time there, you're not going to be happy and you're not going to make as much money. But if you focus on the things you love and that bring you joy, maybe you don't have space to expand your role in your current position in doing that, but now you know what to look for your next position, or you know what kind of company you want to start. Like, if you want your focus to be solely on, HR is massive, right? There's so many aspects of TA and HR. So the more you understand what actually lights you up and what you actually enjoy, that's going to give you clarity that that's what you're going to pursue. So that's number one. And then anyone who's a new entrepreneur or considering entrepreneurship, I would just say get comically good at sales. Like, you just have to learn how to sell. I didn't sell a thing to anyone a single day of my life prior to starting the business. And so that was the thing that scared me the most, is I was like, I know how to recruit. Like, I'm confident I can do that. But how do you get the clients that you then recruit for? Like, once you're out of referrals, once you're out of clients that you already know that are coming to you, how do you create a sales engine? So that was the huge skill set that I had to gain. And I'm still gaining. Like, I'm absolutely nowhere near, like, accomplished. I know how to sell the things now. But I have really built that muscle. And so that's the best advice I can give to anyone considering entrepreneurship.
Oh, you got to tell me.
Ashley has, I know, it's so funny. There was like this long post. Ashley has a thing about sales. And so she's like got PTSD from like trying
really
to
do. Say. Because you've nailed it for me. And here's the thing. Same bucket. I was the best recruiter every single place that I've ever worked. And I do not speak for me. I let my work speak for me. So to sell myself was very awkward because I'm a humble brag. I would rather show you with my product versus just be like, I can do this, this, and this, and I've done that. It's just a weird space for me. And I'm also, because I'm also teaching essentially like equity and inclusion and like things that should naturally, you know, within humanity and people business kind of be there. It was also like this weird spot of like, I don't know if I should be selling you me, or am I selling you like good, like just being a good moral person? Like, I don't like, it was a weird thing to where I can tell you right now, if it was not for Desiree, I don't think I would have done a single piece of business ever for my company, because genuinely, that is how much, like, even I would have people come to me and I'd be like, yeah, what do you need? And they're like, well, we don't know with budget. And I'm like, okay, no biggie. And like, move on. And like, that's it. Like, they'll circle back. Yeah, I was taboo with everything.
Back,
yeah, no, that's why, you know, like, luckily, fate brought me to Desiree Goldie, who is just, hey, if you ever need, if you're like, we need sales heavy hit, this woman, she can get you in any room. And let me tell you the significance of her. Sorry to have a girl crush moment on the podcast. But let me tell you, this is why. Is because for 3 years, I, again, referral based pretty much was all my business because of this one. But every time that I tried to sell it, I came back and was like, my product must not be good. I must not be able to sell this. It must not be a need. It must be 50 other things. And from the day that I met her, I mean, we were in meetings after meet, just tons of different people we could do, tons of different things we could do, just all these possibilities. And all of a sudden people were interested. And I remember just feeling like overwhelmed with gratitude, like literally crying, because I was like, it wasn't the product. It wasn't everything that my brain has been building and working for. It was my complete inability to sell. And the fact that I found someone who not only just knows what they're doing, but just does it effortlessly. I mean, just in conversation. Oh, let me introduce you to, and it even reminds me of you, how you're talking about how you've built all these connections. But hey, if there's ever a time you need someone, that's your person. And for the rest of the world,
I love
this
it.
Is your person. Killer.
Here's the thing though. I think going back to Julia's statement, and thank you so much, Ashley, but I think this is what people don't think about when they're entrepreneurs, right? Or solopreneurs. They are like, I have this great idea. I'm passionate about this thing, and everybody else in the world should be passionate too. Right. And then you realize no one cares unless you are able to deliver the message of why they should care. And you know what they believe in, and I think Julia, you've done that perfectly. And because how I even got aware of you was because of your brand image on LinkedIn. I spend a lot of time there, and so there was so much brand equity in what you did. It sparked interest, right? And so that is the connection I don't think people build in companies. And Julia, we were talking about this before we even got on. The people that are stuck in the old ways of how to do business and not realizing how the future of work and sales and business happens differently now, they're going to struggle, right? Yes. And so I think the journey that you've been on and the way you've done it is just so outstanding. And I honestly am going to say it again for our audience. It's 7 figures in 2 years, folks. That's unheard of. I mean, it's unheard of. And in this space where talent seems like the everybody's hated enemy, like everybody's enemy, nobody wants to deal with it, to do that in this space is, I mean, it's just phenomenal. So congratulations on that.
This episode is brought to you by DEI Labs, re-educating corporate America with immersive data-driven DEI training for HR and hiring pros. Ready to shift systems and spark real change? Visit DEI-labs.com to get started. Need a resume that actually works? Resume Writing is a female-owned team of recruiting pros helping job seekers land the roles they deserve. Get expert help at resumewriting.com.
Can we also just take a pause and like look at this call right now? It is three women who are like experts at what, and I take caution to the term expert, but honestly, in their fields, they're respected in their industries. Like this call alone holds how many figures? Like 7, 8, 9, like however many we have.
Amen.
Like y'all, whenever y'all. We say Julia knows what she's talking about, we mean it. Like look at the call. Like just look at this call. Yeah, like this space has needed not only women to come out here and say, not only can we make it and rock it, but we can do it on our damn selves, like on our own and excel. And I think that you are the perfect, that's why I was so excited to have you on Clock Out, is because I remember being a woman in talent and thinking, I don't know that I can do this. And for all the different reasons that we would have. And so whenever you get to see someone and you get to see that they've done it and they're doing it well, just excited for your presence. That's what I'm saying.
This brings up a good point though, because I think this is interesting to me, and I'm going to ask Julia this, like, and I know we didn't prep you for this, but being a woman in this space and being an owner, founder and owner, did you find the journey? Do you think different? Did you find it harder? Did you face more resistance, or do you think it would have been the same if you were a man?
That's hard for me to know.
I'm just saying, like, you know,
I'm like trying to picture going through the world as a man in general. Like, I don't know what that feels like, but I will say, like, I have been very fortunate to have a lot of incredible female leaders in my career. I've worked for female founders and male founders. I've worked for female bosses and male bosses. I've had good female bosses and terrible female bosses, right? Like, I've really seen good and bad ways of doing it from all the sexes, right? So I've really gotten a good sense of what's possible. And honestly, I think the single most impactful thing on me is that I'm the oldest of 7 kids. And I think from the moment my feet hit this earth, I was like, let's freaking go. Like, I gotta be in charge of all the things. I think I've just always been like this. I'm like, who cares if I'm a man or a woman? Like, I'm just gonna go take charge of everyone and everything. Like, that's just how I am.
I'm telling you, being the oldest versus the only is very different. But yeah, I do think it makes a difference. And I do think, especially the oldest of 7, like that's...
God bless, yeah.
Jesus.
That's a basketball.
Y'all, now that I'm a mom, I have 2 children, y'all, and I'm dying. I'm dead, okay? So my mother, I'm like, why? Like every time I talk to her now, my only question is why? Like literally why? So yeah, I agree with you. She's a little kid. But here we are.
I love it. Question 3, I will throw it to you, Ashley King.
All right. Hey, can I ask it the way I want?
You can ask whatever you want to do.
Okay. Today. So simple. Julia, where could we catch you in 5 years?
I love that that's the way you wanted to ask it. Like,
I know.
Like, what? Like, great question, but like, was it the tone?
What was the other version?
What was the
other version? It was so many things. Don't get involved in this hoop.
This is the other version. Where can hold on. She does write it. She reads it specific. She's you'll learn this. She's much better at everything than me. Like, literally,
I'm
the trash bag that just shows up.
Oh my gosh.
But I think the actual question is, where do you want your entrepreneurial talent or influencer path to go?
Journey.
See what I'm saying? Where can we catch you in 5
years,
ma'am?
So many words. Oh my gosh. No, I love it. So I will continue to be the CEO and founder of Aligned Recruitment, unless I've gotten a fabulous offer to buy it for $1 billion, in which case I will say, yes, you may have it.
Yeah. Do you have a price? I put a price on DEI Labs. I'm curious if you have your...
Do I have a price right now today after just 2 years? Oh my gosh. I'd have to crunch the EBITDA numbers.
The EBITDA.
I don't know.
Sellout in this moment is like 8 mil. I'll sell you for 8 mil.
I love that, girl. Take it. Take it and run.
I'll take it for 8 mil.
Go.
But, yeah.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
How did you land on that number?
How did I get that number?
Yeah.
That's an excellent question. So, at the tender age of 20, I decided if I did the math, $8 million I could live off the interest. And then now I have 2 kids, so I might need to skew it a little, maybe go up to 10. But yeah. $8 million had absolutely nothing to do with EBITDA or like the product or anything that even made sense. I just knew whenever I was 20, I wanted to make a lump sum of $8 million because I could live off the interest. And I was like, that's all I need. I need $8 million.
I love that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you've had DEI Labs for 2 years and you're like, yeah, now's the time to sell for 8 figures. Like, I love that confidence. Or for $8 million. I love that confidence. That's amazing.
Honestly, the day it was just an idea, I was like, can I sell it to someone now? I'll put it on a napkin. Like, whatever it takes. But yeah, I
love that for you. I love that for you. I'm here for that. So, okay, wait, hold on.
Let me ask you this question to bring it back.
If you,
in 5 years, is there a staff of 20?
Yeah,
we know. Are you global? No. Like, what is the plan and trajectory you would like to see? Yeah.
Yeah, what are we even doing here? Yeah, no, that's a great question. So to be honest, I used to have revenue goals, and now I don't, because I found that it was taking my focus off keeping the main thing the main thing. And for me, the main thing is, number one, I want to remain profitable. Number two, I want to operate in line with our company's values. Care deeply about values-based recruitment and values-based living. So for example, I'm a Christian, candidly on my website about my faith. And that's because when I built my own thing, I was like, I'm only going to take this risk if I get to be completely authentically myself. Like, I'm not going to cut off parts of myself to present this like sanitized version. I'm going to be totally real. So that is massively important to me. And then third, I'm a mom first. And then I'm a founder. So I work about 30 hours a week, and that's never going to change. So my goal, well, maybe when my kids are teenagers and they're like, leave me alone, go away. So
right. That's coming.
Right now they're two and four. So they're like obsessed with mom phase. So
right.
The thought of me walking into a room and not having them holding onto my shirt and screaming is like, oh my gosh. Anyway, all that being said, so right now my guiding principles are flexibility and freedom. Like, that is what is guiding me in my business. So I really don't care about headcount. I really don't care about revenue numbers. I really only care about lifestyle, like being able to provide an amazing life for myself and my family, being able to provide amazing outcomes for my clients and my candidates, and again, staying profitable. And that, if I can check those three boxes, then I'm super happy.
That is amazing. I wish more people thought about that, about values and like where they sit as priorities. Now, I have to ask this question because do you hold that true for your employees as well? Do they work a very flexible work schedule? I was just having this argument about flexible work, so I'm kind of into
it.
Hot and
heavy on it.
Yeah.
I could talk about this for the rest of my life, so I'm so glad you brought this up. Yeah, so years ago I read this book called Results Only Work Environment, ROWE. And the idea is exactly what it sounds like. We're not measuring butts in seats time. We're not measuring keyboard time. We are only looking at what are the KPIs of your role. So my director of recruitment, she started, and in her first month, she hired 4 people. So I'm like, I don't care if that took you 1 hour. You did it.
Right.
You did great. Like, so yeah, 100%. I don't care at all about how much you work, how many hours you work, what hours you work. We only have 1 weekly team call, and I just ask that everyone's there for that 1 half an hour per week. And then I have 1 one-on-one with my 2 direct reports, and then the 2 of them have one-on-ones with their teams. Outside of that, as long as you're doing what we agreed you would do when we hired you here, I'm thrilled. I'm super happy. So, no,
that's awesome.
Very much applies to the entire team. I feel very, very strongly about that.
That's great. That's great. That's amazing in this world that we live in and seeing so much return to office and all the craziness, which I, you know, I think I've voiced my opinion on this a lot, but mm-hmm. I'm not a proponent of for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. That is awesome. And I really appreciate that you're doing that, that you live you, but you also do that for your employees is super, 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 super authentic and will probably make people work for you forever. So that's great. That's awesome.
So they are geniuses. So I'm like, literally, my operations manager, I was like, if you're ever thinking about quitting, I need you to give me 6 months notice and then ultimately decide not to leave because I need you to stay. So yeah, that is my goal.
That is awesome. That is fantastic. Any last words, Julia, as we wrap up this next version, oh my God, today is a Friday. Any last words, Julia, as we wrap up this episode?
No, I think we covered it. Y'all have been an absolute blast. I really am like still blushing from all the kind words, and I really loved just like you said, Ashley, like getting to chat with like two genius women in this space. Like this was so, so fun. So, great news. I'm the only Julia Arpag on LinkedIn. So, I am not going to be hard for you to find. How cool is that? Yeah.
That is cool.
It's so cool. And then, number two, our website is alignedrecruitment.com. So, check us out on both of those.
Thank you so much. And we enjoyed having you. And honestly, this was a story I was waiting for. So, thank you for clocking out with us today. If you liked what you heard, follow us and check us out at Clock Out with Talentless, wherever you get your podcast, but definitely at talentlesspodcast.com. You can find us on Blue Sky, the Work Defined Network, YouTube, Instagram. I mean, we're just everywhere. Clock in, clock out, whatever you want to do. Until next time, we'll see ya.